Welcome to Horrible Decisions. I am super excited for today's episode. My name is Weezy.
And it's your girl Mandy B, a.k.a. the Booty Bandit.
And I shot my shot for the guest that we have.
Yes.
I took a very thoughty photo with her book between my legs in Mexico. Mainly, I was like, oh, I'm reading this. It's yellow. My bathing suit's yellow.
It matched.
But we have a guest in, and she wrote this book that I'm in love with. And by the way, so I just want to read the back of the book because I was like, how do I find this bitch?
That's what you did.
And then at the end of it, it says she curates the annual Legacy of the Witch Charity Festival in Brooklyn, New York. And I was like, oh, my God. So I googled your name, and then I saw some professional email, and I was like, nah, let me do the gram. And I'm so excited.
I got it. Right? I was actually at the bar, and I was like, what the fuck? I mean, I love, people take amazing photos, but that was a fucking amazing photo. And like, as I drank, also, I got so many followers, you know, it's just what happened. So I was like, holy shit, thank you. And I've totally heard of your podcast. And I'm actually like, this is bad to say, but I don't listen to podcasts a lot, but I listen to like specific
That's
episodes. And I've listened because Vice, after they covered you, I was like, oh, I gotta listen to this.
Shout out Vice.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
You, Cooper.
Introduce yourself, please.
So, yeah, my name is Kristen Soleil, aka Kristen Corvette on the internet, just because, I don't know, it's like a trashy car.
Definitely like a
porn star. Is it a trashy
name.
Car?
Kristen Corvette sounds super like fuckable.
It does.
I mean,
right?
It's not like a trashy car, but it's not like a fancy car.
It's
you know
not
what
a
I mean?
Ferrari, but like...
Right. I can afford it. Well, I don't actually have a fucking Corvette yet. So that's like on the list.
I googled your book like to like get some info on it like before I was doing this. And like, you're all over the internet. Like, you're top 10 this, top 10 that.
That
humble flex.
So
very...
Like,
can't afford...
I'm modest.
Can't afford...
Like, but this, you know, it doesn't always translate to dollars.
I know that's
saying.
Right, because okay. The way our HBO feature was set up.
still grateful, right, but yeah. Waiting on the Corvette. So that's, you know.
Listen, I am really excited for people to pick up this book, so I want to tell you a little bit about how I found it. I shop at a bookstore called Blue Stockings, you know
what
I'm talking
about? Oh, yes, of course.
Activist bookstore in the Lower East Side, and I always pass by it on my walk home, and your cover made me like, oh, shit. Didn't even read the back of the book, but like that was good. It says her book is called Witches, Sluts, and Feminists. I really love this book. Like, honestly, I don't like books with like, I don't know, just too much like real stuff. Like, I like. Give
so
me
you
like
fair.
Like, I fuck
fiction.
With like Zane. Like, I no fiction.
Oh,
I like,
you like fiction.
I like a good like ghetto erotica type of book.
Oh, yeah. Same.
You know what I mean? But this was just a book that like really resonated with me. And I mean, 250,000 witches dying, like all of that, like, yeah, just tell us a little bit, like, why'd you write this book and what is it?
Yeah, so I've always been interested in sex and
so have we.
Alternative ways of talking about sex and non-normative sex,
alternative
and
the, like, ways of talking
about prescriptions sex. Against sex, the stigma against sexuality, especially like female sexuality, any kind of non-normative sexuality, according to like white patriarchal whatever. And so that's always been an interest. I've always been fascinated with the occult. My mom's a witch, but never really connected the two until, I don't know, like 6-7 years ago. I started this site called Sluttist. And
that's your website?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
did you read about it?
No, I was about to get into your mama being a witch.
Oh, right. Well, I'm just sort of throwing it out.
Oh, wait, I want to get to it.
I'm like, shit.
I have lots of witch questions because I was thinking it was going to be scarier than I thought until you broke witch down.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, for
wait.
Real,
okay,
I was mind blown.
I know I'm not here for the brujas and the witches.
You got to be here
so
for the brujas.
I definitely wrote this book so both types of people can relate to it, and I feel like I tried to do that.
Yeah, I'm the sluts part of it.
Right.
You think you are, maybe not in 16-something, just wait.
Right.
Okay.
So there is a way to look at it if you don't believe in any of that shit. My dad's a hardcore atheist. My mom's a witch, so they did not stay married long.
Oh.
But so I feel like I had a good position, sort of, I can put myself in both places.
Yeah.
Because
okay,
I sort of run in both sides of the whatever belief systems. I'm still like, I'm definitely an agnostic in a lot of ways too, but I'm also a witch, whatever. So because of that, I felt like I was in a unique position to talk about the way women in particular have been demonized throughout history, often because of sexuality or men not understanding women's sexuality.
Love
or
exactly.
You know, wanting to own it and possess it and treat them like bodies to be used and discarded. And oftentimes the witch was the archetype thrust upon these women, whether
right.
they are super Christian or atheist or just like didn't go to church or whatever. So
yeah. Based on their sexuality.
Exactly. I read something in your book that said men were able to basically sentence a woman to her death by saying she looked at them and they had sex with her and so she must be a witch. Yeah, basically seduction.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then the opposite was true too. If a woman didn't, you know, have sex with the man she was supposed to or maybe marry a man she was supposed to, that could also be witchcraft. If she's sharing information about reproduction or fertility, that could be witchcraft.
It was called succubuses, I think.
That's definitely.
I learned
come
that.
On, you might not know genitalia.
That was from Charmed. And I only know the succubus was the man eater.
That's a female sexual demon.
Female
now,
sexual demon.
I read something where you said a quarter million. Was it more than a quarter million women died for being quote unquote witches?
We digging right into this, ain't
we? No. Just a little bit.
Oh, okay. So actually, the numbers are really sketchy because a lot of there's incomplete records and, you know, they didn't always write down when they would murder someone. But it's actually, there were some feminists in the 70s, I say there, that said that many. There were like over millions of women. But now numbers point to, according to like sort of even-handed social scientists, maybe like 200,000, 50 to 200,000. But
that's
I still think the point is that this demonization happened, and it still happens in plenty of countries today.
So 200,000 women died for being hoes, pretty much.
Like a lot of them for being hoes, yeah. I mean, some of them were just like wrong place, wrong time, and people got caught up in the fervor.
Damn. Bro, when I met the birthmark thing, we'll get into it, but that freaked me out.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get into some vanilla shit. So, Kristen, it's our segment where we talk about an article where it's sex in the news.
Sure.
In this article, I really...
Why do we be breaking down vanilla shit so difficult? It is. It's just sex in the news, y'all.
I don't
That's
know.
What it is. We be getting so...
I want to be more articulate because, like your book was.
It's sex in the news.
No, it's just like a news article about sex. So it's on Variety.com, and the headline is, Terry Gilliam says, Me Too movement has transformed into mob rule. It's a world of victims. I think people did very well out of meeting with Harvey, and others didn't. The ones who did knew what they were doing. These are adults we're talking about here, adults with ambition. He claimed that these women didn't actually suffer, but furthered their careers, and that he knew women who walked out of meetings with the mogul before getting sexually abused, quote unquote. I feel sorry for someone like Matt Damon, who's a decent human being. He came out and said, not all men are rapists, and then he got beaten to death. Like, come on, that's crazy. Despite describing the Me Too movement as simplistic and silly, he said that Weinstein was a monster and warned that there were people still in the industry like him. I don't think Hollywood will change. Power takes advantage. It always does and always has.
Who is this who wrote that?
A guy is Terry Gilliam.
It sounds like Future. Because Future actually just came out. Yeah, so he actually just came out when everyone was talking about the R. Kelly documentary. He came out and was like, I think y'all giving it too much attention. Excuse me? Says the man who's sitting here impregnating all these women, sitting here showing that he's
don't
a misogynist.
Don't ruin it, bro. I love being ghetto to that shit.
Oh, no, I'm ready to cancel Future. I know we don't like the cancel culture, but he's one of those that has showed that he doesn't really care about where women stands. He verbally abuses
people
them.
Don't
even
know
on
how
social
to
media,
shut
bro.
The fuck
no, he
up.
Shouldn't have said a goddamn thing. So you reading that, I'm like, bitch, did Future write this? Like, we're giving too much attention.
I know.
It's now a mob thing?
But
what?
I really was interested on your opinion in, have you ever been, or how do you feel reading that? Has someone ever said you're pushing feminist culture too much or feminist culture is toxic? What does that mean when people say that? We're toxic
that
feminists.
Just pissed me off.
I mean, that's also a popular buzzword, toxic masculinity, toxic femininity, whatever,
right,
you know,
right.
And I get it. Too much of anything is like a bad thing, except for when you're talking about equal rights for all humans.
Right.
I don't know how you can do too much of that.
That makes sense. You're right.
Right.
But like, have you had some pushback on your book being too feminist?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's some fun, like, trolly right-wing articles like, liberals and feminists are all witches now, you know?
Right.
Which is really them being upset about, you know, people just seeing this lineage of persecution that just continues. And it's just the same thing as it happens today in all different ways that the, like, dominant people with the most privilege blame the most oppressed people for all their problems.
Yeah.
That happens, obviously, with every segment of society, whether it's immigrants or people of color or like women with the Me Too movement, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it's just talking about things that happened in the past that are still happening.
Whether
and that's
it's
why
happening
people are pissed. It,
or it's happening the same way, but a different way in the same sense. So even though maybe we're not dealing with segregation or slavery anymore, you can still sit here and kind of draw a aligned to the pay wage gap, or you know, maybe not having equal opportunity the way that you're claiming we're equal opportunity employers, but yet you're still sitting here not allowing certain people or demographics to get those jobs. So I love that you're doing that. All you're doing is drawing a line from maybe centuries ago, hundreds of years ago. I didn't read the book. I probably will read the book now because I'm not going to lie. I'm like, witches, girl, again? I was like, shit, bitch, we talk about spells and shit.
We had Amelia Ortiz. I don't know if you know her.
Yeah.
And one of our most listened to episodes. A lot of people really
liked
it.
People love Amelia. Yeah. You know, and she's the good Bruja, and she's dope. I actually hit her up recently. I watched Bird Box. Did you watch it?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, Amelia, I really need your help. Like, I didn't know how demonic this movie would be. I can't sleep. And she gave me a chant and basically told me to, if I ever feel that way, just say, hey, like, if you're not of the light, I want you to leave. And she was like,
prayer?
Quote, chant, prayer. We always assume.
Okay, it's going to be different? Okay.
Well, no, we associate prayer, and I do, with religion. So, like, just saying something to make yourself feel good, it really fucking helped me.
I'm going to send you a song.
Saging.
Next time you feel bad. I got some good, happy songs.
They make me feel good. It's like a ritual.
It is.
It makes you feel empowered. Yes, that could be witchcraft.
It's just all different verbiage.
You could call that. You know, you don't have to.
Or a movie, girl. Every time I watch 300, I feel like I could be anybody. So 300 is my movie I go to when I feel like.
I do gotta watch comedies after a scary movie.
Yeah, 300 is my movie.
I wanted only to read that because I really.
I like what
get annoyed with how the Me Too movement is described as this culture of like people tagging on. And also interesting, a friend of the show, and we've had her on, Leah McSweeney, has had a lot of controversial YouTubes and blogs she's put up for saying that the Me Too movement can be toxic because she feels like real kind of rapes are violent, right? Or there are women that are being violated and she feels like certain women are using it as a, I don't want to quote her wrong,
but it's weird because
basically saying it's a little too much and a lot of girls don't like that. And
but
so,
she also said that she doesn't believe in a rape culture. So even having that idea of a rape culture and even just the dialogue going through now, a lot of people listen to the Joe Budden show. And even men now questioning, well, shit, how can I talk to a woman now since everything is Me Too? And now I feel like if I just holler at you now, I sexually assaulted you. And so now there's men that are blurring those lines where it's like, y'all know what the fuck we talking about.
Of course.
Like, absolutely. Come the fuck on.
Any reasonable person knows, like, what consent looks like and what appropriate behavior looks like.
Right.
But I get it. We're in this, like, new territory where everything is, you know, taken to the extreme or not listened to at all. It's sort of like either or. You know, we haven't found, you have to go far to go back to go to the middle to sort of even out, you know, your understandings about all these
things. I hate questions about, I know you're playing up the kink, but I hate questions where men are like, well, how do I know? And it's like,
yeah.
Right.
You don't?
Right.
God damn.
So we're going to go ahead. So every show we have a kink of the week. This is another one. We're going to go ahead and warn y'all since mad people is throwing up with the porn categories episode.
This one is
rather nasty. You picked felching and I was disgusted.
It's so like when a guy eats a cream pie out of your
ass. Yeah.
You do?
And she said it. She described it so disgustingly. I said, I was like, oh, my God.
I read the words out of my phone. I described it so disgustingly.
Maybe you read really good that time. Because you know I normally don't like when you read, but she read it with
I'm good at reading in my head.
Oh, and you made
it. But just not out of my mouth.
So the kink of the week for this week, guys, is ovipositor. A kink that involves laying eggs into someone, usually involving alien eggs, bugs, tentacles, etc., and can be seen occasionally in hentai. There is a large amount of art involving it on Tumblr and is commonly associated with the inflation thing, kink. Another thing that I brought up.
What's inflation? I was trying to find that because a girl told me she watches that.
So inflation, I love how my phone just goes to different links. So according to UrbanDictionary.com,
Urban Dictionary.
Inflation is one, a sexual practice in which the practitioner inflates his or her stomach by inserting air or fluid into his or her rectum.
Usually can't you
with
kill
a pump.
Someone with like that? Yeah, you blow probably. In their pussy?
Two, it's a fetish involving inflation of all parts of the body. So think Violet in the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, usually the stomach. This fetish tends to be related to furries and is often portrayed in an outwardly non-sexual context.
Well, I'm going through inflation right now. I'm on my period.
Bloated?
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe a nigga might like a little bloated. So One of the articles that I actually pulled up
is
from Vice.com. Again, shout out Vice. It says that the emerging fetish of laying alien eggs inside yourself. So there's actually these toys that you can get at the sex shop.
I've been wearing eggs for years. I never thought about it, bro.
So they look like alien penises, and they shoot out eggs, and you can shoot the eggs into yourself if you're into this kink,
like,
I guess.
Yoni eggs, but like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they actually look really weird. I don't know if y'all can see
this
here.
This is crazy.
On
They're not that weird to me now.
And it's asking... So this article is asking how people got into it. This is also asking where the sexual gratification comes from it.
What does it say?
It says, let's face it, there are three things that will always sell: food, death, and sex. I tried food service and decided after managing three restaurants and owning that one day, day in and day out, that it didn't much look like much was going to change. Death didn't really interest me, so I wanted something more fun, something that breaks the monotony of people's days and makes them spit out their coffee when they tell you that they like to do. So basically, to me, it would be maybe something
the
that...
The shock factor?
Just the shock factor of maybe thinking about it. I'm not gonna lie, I feel like aliens would have, like, the biggest dicks. Like, their dicks would be, like, bigger than horses. I don't know. I don't know why I envision aliens. So this is something that's really
weird.
Would
you fuck one?
So I'm into sci-fi, and I've said this on the show often. Clearly, I don't believe in science, which is probably why I'm so into sci-fi, so I know, because it's science fiction, it's fake shit, bro. So I really be like into sci-fi, like thinking if the world is these aliens, maybe I think they all friendly. I just don't know why we think aliens are bad people.
I think they're friendly too,
and I feel like they would all give women orgasms since men can't. So I'm here for aliens coming to.
Wow, we
take
know
over
the first porn you're gonna direct. Speaking of laying egg porn, what's the weirdest thing you think you came across while searching porn online, Kristen?
Just generally.
Yeah.
Not research for the book.
Oh, wait. No. Did you do research for this book?
Oh, I just was thinking, of course.
Okay. Which?
Should I do research for the book?
I just meant, like, early modern, like, medieval type sexual scenarios. I read a lot about that, but that's not really
medieval
porn.
Sex. Do they? I didn't.
Medieval people have
No. I haven't really came across porn like that, but, like, yeah.
There gotta be. Game of Thrones is mad
popular.
I'm sure there's parodies of Game of
All
Thrones.
All kinds
bro.
Of, like, cosplay shit. But as far as just general porn, I guess I've seen a friend of mine had some robot porn that had the robots had all the different parts, like, two giant penises and a vagina and an asshole. And so it was, you know, really, really...
Not like a hot human-like robot, but just
robot.
Like robot.
Well, the face looked like a woman.
Okay.
And there were breasts, but, you know, multiple penises, anus, vagina.
Now,
you know,
what did your friend do? Did your friend get off on this porn?
Oh, yeah. He actually paid for it. And I think that's awesome. You should pay for your porn.
Okay.
And, you have to because it's
to
so
support.
Such a niche.
That's right. Yeah. But that was totally, like, animated, so that, you know. But
animated?
Yeah.
I didn't take that it was animated.
Okay, hentai.
It was,
no, hentai is all animated porn? No.
I think so.
It is.
Yeah.
It is?
But this was, like, not, because hentai, you know, technically is, like, Japanese. Right.
Yeah.
So this was Russian. And
a Russian robot cartoon?
Trump got it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was good. It was good.
That's some weird shit.
No, that's weird. I think we said some weird shit, but that was some weird shit.
Dude, so the weirdest ones we said on our last episode.
They got it, because we're not going to make them
remember.
No,
I'm
going to
say one more
shit.
Time. Kristen, someone wrote in, he said, well, I was watching this porn where six dudes come in a cup, they put it in a frying pan, cook it up,
like scrambled
feed
eggs.
It to a girl, and it really looked like eggs.
Hmm. And I was just like, I want to know what rabbit hole he had to go down to find that one.
That's not that far, dude. I watch Bukkake every night, and someone's like, I'm not into the feeding on, like, spoons or cups. I, like, just come on face or, like, body. I think that's sexy. But, like, girls drink it all the time.
It makes sense.
It makes
the next step.
It is.
This with these popsicle ones, right?
Well, like, I told you, and I've said it, I guess, and I just guess I wasn't into it. So I have a guy that used to make me squirt, like, every time we had sex. And he literally wanted me to squirt in a cup so that he could mix it with Ciroc and drink it.
There you go.
And so
you
we got to come up with a like, name for that drink.
I'm not going to lie to you. There are moments where I'm looking at porn or hearing shit like that, and it doesn't really shock me. And I'm like, when did I go too far?
I don't think that's too far.
How did we get here?
You
don't think that's
open-minded.
I like that.
He's already
open-minded.
We should be saying
it's
that.
It's open fucking minded.
You know what? I've been a fucking gangbanger.
So before we get into the horrible decision this week, I want to let you know that this week's episode is brought to you by Lola. Lola is a female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and all-natural cleansing wipes. Unlike other major brands, Lola products are 100% natural and easy to feel good about. I'm not sure if you guys have done the research and seen what goes in some of the tampons, but it can't be good for our vaginas, okay? So with Lola, there's no BS, mystery fibers, or doubts about what's going in your body. Plus, Lola products come in a simple, customizable subscription. So, girl, they can come straight to your door. You ain't got to deal with going to the grocery store buying tampons. But this is probably the most exciting thing to me about it is that Lola actually offers Sex by Lola. Sex by Lola is a line of gynecologist-approved sexual health and wellness products, and that includes lubrication, condoms, and wipes. So y'all know, if you look into your little hoe bag, wipes are something that are essential to have just to keep from having your pussy moist all day. I sexed a lot with guys even at work, and sometimes my pussy just be moist. And so wipes come into handy. But also another thing with the condoms, even though I sit here and I'm a huge advocate of condom sex, I still feel kind of embarrassed when I have to go into the store and purchase condoms. So these products actually come discreet. We got them delivered to the studio and nobody knew what we were getting. Little did they know, our box was full of lube, condoms, and of course, pussy wipes. So if you want to go ahead and try Lola for the first time, don't be shamed, okay? We giving y'all motherfuckers 40% off of all of your subscriptions. So visit mylola.com, that's MYLOLA.com, and enter promo code WDP, all right? So go ahead, check them out. Please let us know your thoughts on them, and let's get back to the show.
Gang likes it because I'm open-minded.
Yes.
You? Fucking Republicans. Okay, so our horrible decision for the week is obviously witches, sluts, and feminists. First question, why do we need this book?
Oh, that's right. Boom. You ain't know you was going to get asked that, huh?
I mean, really.
I mean, I got to say, it's not for everybody. So,
okay, I like that.
But why should we read it? Because we should.
Yeah. I think even if you totally disagree with everything, look, I'm putting forth a lot of history, interviews with a lot of different people, and I'm showing how women and feminine folks, which includes like genderqueer femmes or trans women, you know, how femininity has been devalued and how women and feminine folks have been persecuted throughout history because of that. And just drawing all these different disparate parts of art and culture and literature.
It's
philosophy.
It feels like a really historical, and I don't want this turn people off, but like I learned a lot more than I thought.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
See, well, I like that when I was in probably my junior year of college, we had to take certain electives, and one was women in history. Mm. And so that's where I actually don't like history, but I enjoyed reading that at one point nymphomaniacs were treated as mentally unstable and had to go to like crazy houses and stuff
like
that.
I think they're trying to do that again.
Just because women enjoy sex. And I feel like that's possibly what they are trying to do. Even in this age where right now we're not Tumblr. They're taking that away.
Yeah.
They're also taking away on Instagram. So, bitch, I don't know if we're going to have the horrible decisions page much longer.
I know.
But if it seems like we're insinuating that people should go out and have sex, they're canceling those type of pages, too.
Wildflower sex is a big Instagram that just got deleted. They got it back. But, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's horrible, what's going on with FOSTA SESTA and the persecution of sex workers. And this also ties into that because I'm going back into history with the sacred whore and talking about, the way women's sexuality and spirituality was not thought of as, totally anathema. You know? Like, those things could be combined and were combined in certain belief systems thousands of years ago. And there'd be priestesses in these temples where you would go have sex with them and you'd reach communion with the goddess through having sex with them.
Yeah.
That's like the highest, the highest ecstasy you could receive. And now, the way sex workers are treated and abused and not given rights in our country and countries around the world, of course, too, it's just unconscionable.
Right.
And so that's like the next step is to realize, to destigmatize sexuality overall means to also like treat sex workers with the same respect and give them equal humans. Rights that
But it's
deserve.
Not even only sex workers. I wanted to bring this down to any men who are listening who are like, man, that's not me. I want to simplify it because it's a common thing that we even have with this podcast where a lot of men think that women don't have sex to enjoy sex. They think that women attach all sexual acts to emotions, to where right. women don't cheat, or if you do this, you a hoe or a slut, because a woman attaches all emotions to sex.
Like we can
instead,
enjoy, right.
instead of just thinking that, hey, maybe as a woman, I want to feel pleasure and I want to come. And even if you date it back to the early centuries where women were just looked at as reproductive organs,
right.
like it was looked down upon if a woman just said, hey, I like having sex.
Absolutely.
I like
now that you're talking about that, Kristen, can you tell us, because she's saying some things that I think you brought up with witches, like
awesome.
What were things that people, why were you called a witch? What were some of those things that you could do? One of them you mentioned was the art of seduction or birthmarks. Like, can you tell us some of those things?
Yeah. And just to respond to what you're saying before, I totally agree. It's not just sex workers. That's just like, you know, the like heightened example.
Right.
But all female sexuality, all mm-hmm. women's sexuality is, you know, all anyone who identifies as a slut, obviously, you don't have to be a professional slut, you can be a civilian slut,
yep.
and like, you get the,
right.
you got a lot of that stigma as well.
Civilian slut. Ooh, that's us,
I like
bitch!
That.
Yeah, and, you know, civilian slut gotta stand up for the professional sluts, you know?
Hey,
you gotta build this alliance.
You
totally do.
We missed that. That was a bad, we just tried to
hit that. That was so good. I loved it.
So, yeah, going back to, you know, some of the same, like, things that are happening to sluts today for just wanting to enjoy
Amber
pleasure
Rose
consensually.
Those, right.
Exactly. Amber Rose is in the book.
Okay, yeah. You bring
and,
her up.
By the way, I didn't write you. You wrote Amber Rose, and I was like, oh, okay. And then I read Sojourner the Truth, and I was like, oh, that's it. She's kind. Oh, yeah, that's right. So what was a witch
oh,
back
right.
then? What
so,
could you be a witch for?
One could be if you had a like a birthmark or an unusual marking, where they, especially in like British cases of witchcraft, because they thought there'd be animal familiars, which were these like little demon animals, often sometimes in the form of a cat or like a goat or a rabbit. And they would suckle on a witch's teat or sort of this protrusion of flesh, which oftentimes would be the clitoris. So they would just, you know, search a woman's body to find something that was a little off, and a clit would count as though they're like, oh yeah, that she has a clit. That's
what? Are you serious?
Like, if you had a big clit,
yes, yes.
If you had a big clit,
they'd be like, oh yeah, that's where the animal demon, you know, suckles, and so you're a witch. Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
and I got eczema, so I'm sure they're gonna
Me
find
too.
A birthmark.
Right,
bitch.
An extra nipple, anything, you know. And so that was
oh,
one.
Wow.
And of course, the search itself is like sanctified assault by the state. You know, there's like men searching the bodies of these women for, you know,
so they really have not been knowing what to do with the clip for years.
For a long time. They ain't know what
right.
it was.
It's been demonized literally. Like, they literally thought it was the province of some little demon. Like, the little fleshy area has been.
See why your mom's a witch, cousin.
Feared. For centuries.
So, like, what about women? Okay, so what about women's sexuality made them a witch?
Yeah. I guess, you know, being too sexual.
Breasts, hips, or maybe not that?
I don't have any evidence that I know of how a woman's,
physical. Okay.
like, body would be to deem her a witch or not.
Okay.
I mean, it's possible, but I don't
right.
have the evidence for that.
Okay.
But just acting out of the ordinary, you know, and the ordinary would change depending on the town and the, you know,
right.
the country or the region. So all the witch hunts, it differed all over the, you know, all over Europe. And there were some men, obviously, I gotta say that. I don't like to spend too much time talking about
I saw
men.
You put like less than 10% or something.
Right. It's not many, but like 80% are women. But there are men who are accused of witchcraft as well. And oftentimes it was because they were related to an accused female witch.
Oh, shit. They just wanted to kill the whole
so,
guy
like,
family.
So like, yeah, if your mom, your sister, your wife, you know, you're probably next. So.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And
Bloody sisters.
And right. if you're a woman who's accused of witchcraft but then, like, acquitted, you know, sometimes you would, you know, be let off or you would, you know, say, yes, I did speak to the devil, but I deny him now, and they'd let you go and not kill you. Then you would always have this, like, mark on your name. And maybe 20 years later, more witch hunts are coming up wherever you live, then you're just
oh,
bound
my
to be
God.
Down.
Was this related to the Salem witch trials at all?
So this all happened sort of leading up to, like, the Salem witch trial. So
okay.
that was influenced by the same beliefs that were percolating for hundreds
oh,
of
wow.
years beforehand.
Okay.
And so Salem is a little different. And I don't want to like bore everybody
with some of that.
But that was a lot of this also was political. It wasn't all about like female sexuality.
Right.
Sometimes it was like a grudge or, you know, trying to make alliances so they would like get rid of people that way by accusing them of witchcraft. So in Salem,
wow.
a lot of it was that. It was not really about female sexuality so much, even.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, I guess because I've been reading so much of that, I wasn't sure, like, which.
Can we do that today?
What?
Is there anything that we can put onto somebody to make everybody, I guess the same way we do.
What do you mean? What are you saying?
Like, if you're saying that people were doing it for gain,
yeah.
is there anything that today we could call somebody and they could completely be exiled? I guess a pedophile?
Yeah, a rapist.
A rapist or pedophile?
So basically, which was up there, you'd get beheaded.
That's insane.
So I wanted to bring something up. You mentioned Amber Rose in your book and Slut Walk, and I don't know if this was your book or I read somewhere else, but I thought it was your book where you said she used to slut shame or she changed her tune.
Yeah, that was an interview that I read in The Guardian, and I quoted her. And she said she used to call women sluts and hoes in a bad way.
Right.
And then,
okay.
I like that you fixed that. She used to call women in a bad way.
Yeah, because
right. Because like, right now it's not now.
I wanted to bring that up to just ask you both.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Can women change their minds? And if they do, and they have, because we talked about Amber Rose doing it, what's the most slut-shamey thing you used to do before you woke up? Because I'm going to tell you mine.
Okay.
I used to talk shit when I was, like, a little bit younger in high school about girls that were having sex or got fingered or anything when I was 100% doing it. Like, I would shame them, talk shit about it, and I would do it, you know, whether it would be like, anything. I'd be like, oh my God, she's a fucking whore. Like, I would. And I was wondering if you guys had a moment where you've been like that and then you had to get comfortable. Whether it be lying about your body count or anything.
So I'll actually say, this is something even as recent as us starting the podcast. I do still think that hoe and slut are not good words. So even with this podcast and uplifting that word, it's still something that I don't want to be referred to as. So to me, that's still kind of a slut-shamey type of mindset because I do want to – I know that slut and hoe and these words were probably created by men just to shame women in their sexuality. And so unfortunately,
Do you think that way because, you know, people are using those words to be hurtful?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's, I don't think that that's necessary. You know – I just did this analogy on when I was on the Inner Hoe Uprising, and I said, you know, there's times where I think I want to stop saying the N-word because I should be more woke, right?
Right.
I was like, because I definitely cringe when I hear the F-word. But I realize why I do. It's because nobody says my F like they say you my nigga. Mm-hmm. There's
right.
never a term of endearment.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you know
someone... Oh, yeah, we say, what's up, hoe? What's up, bitch? Like, it's nothing.
Right. So, like, we can feel comfortable with these words, right? But I think that you know when someone tries to call you that, they aren't being nice, like, or try to say it in a way where
right.
it could feel hurtful.
Right.
But even hate to bring it up, but you got an huge argument, public argument with Tahoe about it. You know that word, what it felt like when you heard it.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, if you're not going to count that, then goddamn, take him out, goddamn asshole away.
I didn't mean you had to take it away.
I would say it would be more so in the realm of when I did hang around more sex workers. So growing up, and I say growing up, I would say between 18 to about 22, a lot of my friends were sex workers, from porn stars, strippers, escorts. I still have friends that are escorts. And so I would say I would slut shame the free hoes. I would slut shame the girls who are out there fucking and not getting money. Or the girls who are out there just fucking for flights. Like, bitch, you fucking for flights.
Instead of enjoying sex.
Why are you? Yeah.
That's
so
a good one.
I would shame women who literally just wanted to enjoy sex.
I'm sure I've said something like that, too.
Instead, just because all of my friends were like, bitch, if you got a pussy, you need to be charging. So I would literally shame the free hoes, we call it. Because there's paid hoes and free hoes. And so I guess at that point in my life, I would look down on women who didn't charge.
I kind of still do that. Like, oh, yeah. Get anything out of it?
Yeah.
I loved when Nina Kay, she's a porn star who came on and she talked about this fun threesome she had. She was like, oh, my God, he flew me out from Tampa to Miami.
Well, no, do you know?
It was free.
And I'll sit here and say that. I feel like thinking that I used to have that thought process.
You had it for yourself?
No, people direct that to me. And when I talk about pegging or the enjoyment of pegging, a lot of women and men be like, wait, you do that for free? And so people want me to charge to peg niggas. And so I'd be like, I enjoy doing it. Why would I charge? And so, yeah. So the same thing that I put out to other people, like, I get it now, but I enjoy doing that. Why would I charge is the mindset.
Yeah, like
and
that.
If a woman enjoys having
one.
Sex, why should she charge?
That's a really good
that
one.
Is good. Yeah.
What's yours?
I think, I'm trying to think, because I did go to, like, an all-girls school, and it was really cool to be as slutty as possible.
So, like, how are you slutty with all girls?
Well, you would, like, go to the all-boys school, or with each other.
Okay,
so,
okay.
So, I grew up, okay. like, I grew up lying a lot about having done a lot of stuff I didn't do yet.
Ooh, you're, like, reverse slut-shame.
Yeah, like, so I would drop.
You know what? It makes sense. You wrote this fucking book.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, I was going to, like, kink clubs when I was a virgin. I mean, I don't even believe in virginity, but you know what I mean.
You don't.
You don't believe in virginity.
That's interesting. Tell us why.
Well, I think
I don't believe in science.
That
either,
whole
girl.
Like the whole concept of attaching some sort of value to
the pop and the cherry, whether,
and it's all based really on sort of like a heteronormative, like, you know, idea of a penis entering a vagina and you know in a woman or whatever. So I think.
You're
there's
right.
a lot of problems associating, like, changing how society views you based on if a dick has been you in you. Like, that's just
I like that.
Total
I, like I really like that. And what's crazy
she's
is,
a virgin. Oh, wow.
But what's crazy, right. even with what you just said, she's a virgin. We attach virginity
right.
in that to just women.
Only women.
Come on, woke shit.
Men. Yes,
right.
bitch, I'm woke ho.
Right, and so, like, but what does virginity mean if you're queer? Like, if you're not, like, a cis man or a cis woman?
Dude, I always used to ask, right?
Like
so when I was growing up, I knew I liked girls but didn't really claim bisexuality until a little bit older. I always used to be so curious, like, how do lesbians lose it? Do they always
right.
have their virginity?
Right, until
right.
a dick goes inside.
So there you go.
Right.
That's
I agree.
Totally fucked up.
It is.
Anyway, besides that point,
I like
so
that.
I was still like going
look
to
look at us. I'm loving this. We're civilian hoes.
We be a real feminist in this episode too, bitch. Hello.
That was interesting. I like
no,
that
I
one.
Like that too.
I'm glad. I think we should like spread that to the youth.
There is no virginity. Virginity is not a thing, guys.
Right. Anyway, so yeah, I went
you
to
would
kink
lie
clubs
about
when I was like 15,
okay.
and I would still be like a virgin. So I think for me, it was like thinking you had to do. That's not really what you're asking, but just like
no, that's
sex,
good. If you have to be the reverse slut,
that you're
yeah,
like,
that's fine,
forced.
Right.
I don't know that you're really uncool or you're being a prude or terrible if you want to say no. So that was a thing for me because I thought. I consent, obviously, I'm like 36, so consent was not like a thing I
was
taught.
I was about
taught.
To ask, like, so what? Like,
you ain't want to ask her age?
Yeah, so consent was not like a thing. You just, like,
do
people want to do it to you. You say, okay, or you're uncool.
Right.
So that was
where'd
also,
you grow up, by the way?
D.C.
Okay.
Okay.
So
are you going this weekend
in?
For the Women's March?
I was at the original, but I'll probably be at the New York one.
So oh, okay.
I went to the original D.C.
I
one.
Do
That's
have
good.
Now a question. You brought up... Satan and the political rebellion.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, because I was already scared after Bird Box.
But
then I found it very interesting that Satanists didn't mention really worshiping the devil. Because
oh, no.
I thought Satan was the devil. Now they're feminists. Can you explain that
yeah.
section?
So,
yeah.
I'm sure and I know that there are people who, you know, worship a devil in the sense that, you know, preachers and Christianity says they have for
religious
hundreds of
reasons.
Years.
Yeah.
Right. But I've never met those people, whatever. But today there are groups of people who identify as Satanists, but Satan is like an archetype, an icon of being like the eternal rebel. So they take the
just
ideas
just rejecting
of,
God.
Right. They take ideas of Satan from literature in the past. So basically it's Satan as this sort of, you know, kind of non-traditional bad boy.
Antichrist.
Right.
Okay.
And against, you know, following these rules that, like, the Christian church have set up for us.
So I've been conditioned to be scared.
Right. So there's nothing scary about those Satanists at all. But, of course, when they do things, people still come out to protest because they think they're drinking the blood of babies or this and that. But there's a lot more ethics involved in Satanism than I would say in a lot of Christianity right now.
Like
or
for what?
Overall.
Like give us one or two.
As far as, you know, bodily autonomy, they believe they have different tenets. You know, there's different like satanic groups. So there's not just one. So they all sort of go about their Satanism in a different way. But a lot of it is just based on individuality, individual rights, and, you know, fighting for other people's rights in your community. And
dude, when I saw that with Satanists, I was like, so they really be out here fighting for black people? All right. Like, that shit really fucked me up. Like, Satanists and the political rebellion. I thought that was a really cool chapter. I also am curious to know, you said your mom's a witch. Mm-hmm. What's a witch right now? What is
a
witch?
Oh my God, good question. So many things. And that's
right, because Amelia is a bruja, but she's not a bad person.
But a bruja.
Like, you're wearing black eyeliner right now and fishnet. Like, what's up?
This isn't witch. This is goth.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, that's what we think of.
Wait, is goth witch? Like, because that.
No, but the aesthetics, there's a big crossover.
Okay. Gotcha.
Because, you know, goth aesthetics come from sort of an obsession.
Like, you have kind of like a cape on, but it's not a cape, it's a scarf. What is this?
A cape?
It's like a bandana.
I ain't know what to call it, bitch. You know, I don't be knowing the words and shit.
Oh, she came for your neck.
I was thinking maybe there was a hoodie that go above.
I mean, I should be wearing
it. Is that a fucking scarf, maybe? You're wearing a cape. I can't wait till we post a picture of us all together saying you're wearing a cape.
I wish I'd worn something more dramatic. But as far as what a witch is today, that answer can be anyone. There are so many different ways people define witch and people practice witchcraft. You know, there are Christian witches, Jewish witches, atheist witches, Wiccan witches,
but you,
voodoo practitioners.
What is it? You teach an annual, you have an annual witch?
I have a charity festival. Actually, I haven't done it in a year because this
witches
book
are
actually got...
They give out charity?
Witches. Oh, no. So basically...
Glenda!
So basically the proceeds from the festival go to the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network because I'm sort of tying this lineage of, you know, people persecuted for supposedly practicing witchcraft in the past to, you know, the abuse of women. So
we're so up in there.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you, so when... you posted the book and I started commenting back and forth with some of our followers. They started saying even some of the spells that still go on today. So it's a myth. I don't know if it's a myth or what. Maybe it's voodoo. Period blood going in spaghetti, which is why there's a myth that you're not supposed to eat everyone's spaghetti. Have you heard of this one?
I have not heard that one, but there's all kinds of stuff that I know.
Peeing in his drink or something.
So
or,
apparently the period
or
blood...
Tea, peeing in the peeing in the tea.
The period blood in the spaghetti is supposed to make him love you forever.
Oh, okay. There's like, all kinds of folk magic spells that I wouldn't necessarily know, but like my mom had her own group of spells too, like growing up, that she would... you know, teach me. They were based on like Catholic folk magic.
Do you remember
Catholic folk magic?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously there's like the Catholic Church, but then there's the regular folk, and there's a long running tradition of like people who are Catholic. Like, you know, the way like in like Haiti, let's say, like a lot of people are Catholic, but they also practice voodoo practices too, mm-hmm. you know? So it's the same thing. So there'd be like Catholic folk magic where you have to believe all the things in the Bible, but then you also do all these other things like maybe peeing in someone's tea or, you know, my mom would like take a statue of St. Joseph and bury it upside down in the front of the house if she wanted to sell the house to get it like, you know, when she was moving.
Like a superstition.
Exactly. So that's like kind of like the folk magic.
Yeah, there's something else like shitting in someone's lawn, like taking a shit and burying it.
Yeah.
It's supposed to like take away their prosperity.
Oh, Amelia told me like if you want to get rid of someone and shut them the fuck up, you take their picture, you write a name on it, you put it in a cup, you pee, put a little pee in the cup, right? You close it, seal it, put aluminum foil around it so if they try to get out, it goes back in and you freeze them. You put them on ice.
Yeah, I got stuff in my freezer. Plenty of things.
What's in your freezer, sis?
Maybe she can't say it.
No, I need.
I don't want to like. I don't want to say out.
Don't say
loud,
the people.
But just
it's
like.
Four.
Yeah. It's just like
say, what is,
you know,
what's in your freezer? Because I ain't never eaten at your house, girl.
It's in the way back.
We're gonna be at the charity festival. Like, let's get that.
Yeah, let's
just
Chipotle,
like
bitch.
You know, you want to like cut ties with someone and
that's
keep
it. Cutting
from,
cords. Yep. That's what she called it.
Or there's like someone you want someone to like have sweet feelings for you and like.
What's that one?
That's like pouring honey on. You could even write someone's name in a piece of paper and pour honey on it and tie it up and.
They
you know.
Instagram
you put
name
it in
work?
The freezer.
What if I don't know their whole name? Instagram name work.
I think so.
Okay. Listen, it is
modern day witchcraft.
It is. Actually, I have a friend who like anoints her phone before swiping on Tinder. There's all kinds of ways that the digital intersects.
Wait, say that one again.
Anoints her phone.
So if you, like, let's say I have this Jezebel oil that
I'm
getting a riot.
You know, who do you want? Who do you want? Hold on, because I'm about to go to who I want.
Some fine ass French black dude that works on
Who? Oh, I thought she was about to say this.
Let's go. Come on.
I'm finding him.
Yeah, I am not an herbologist or like I don't make oils, but I have friends who do. So let's say like I have my friends, you know, love oil or love draw oil or Jezebel oil. Like you could anoint your phone like all four, you know, corners. And yeah, there's so many ways to do
it. Oh, you
put it in all four corners because this is who I want,
Siri,
y'all.
Listen.
His name is Ruby LaChic. He's a soccer player.
Damn.
But this is who I want. He's so goddamn
so cute.
Wow. So what do I do to get him to just DM me back? Because that's all I need.
Because the thing is, I think the best kind of witchcraft is the kind like you like feel that is authentic.
You have an intent.
If you do something that like you think is just from some dusty old book or someone else, and you think it's dumb, it's not going to work. So you have to do something that feels like right.
I masturbated to him.
That sex magic, we gotta talk about.
Yes. Sex magic.
I got this book deal from sex magic.
You got okay. what?
This book deal
came from,
and I got another book deal recently from more sex magic.
Wait, what is that? Come on,
she put the spell on the publishing
company. Sex magic, come on, let's go.
Sex magic, like witchcraft, sex magic means a lot of things in a lot of different traditions. Like I'm not initiated into a tradition. I have my own like shit that I just learned from family stuff and from friends and what felt right to me. And some other people like really like a serious codified path that, you know, other people have written books about and have, you know, sacred texts. That's not for me. That's too close to like organized religion for me.
Okay.
So there's no sacred texts in my world. You know, I go with my intuition and what works, you know, and it's all sort of still working with nature, nature-based shit. But the digital is obviously important. That world is what we live in. So chakras, you were talking about crystal eggs.
Chakras? Bro, I need them to sponsor us.
Okay, I love Vanessa. She, you know, she's in the book.
I fucking use it.
Yeah, tell Vanessa how.
All right.
Oh my God, bro. Like, yeah. It would be perfect.
I'm sure she would love that.
I used one with someone else. Her and I were like, it was amazing. But I didn't want to like puppet too much.
But no, but even talking about it, so we kind of slightly brought it up with Amelia who mentioned kind of just crystals and how they relate to sex.
Oh, yeah.
And us saying the importance that this isn't y'all going out buying crystals and shoving it in your...
No. Do not do that.
No,
sharp, like, dude, no way.
No,
I have some selenite that has, like, poked me before.
Ooh.
Yeah. So sex magic and chakras, even, you're saying?
Yeah, so I used a chakra. I used to do my own sex magic without anything else when I was younger. I realized I was doing sex magic without knowing.
How?
I would masturbate and, like, think about things and envision goals and things.
And it would happen?
And it would happen.
I know. I'd be doing that.
Wait, no. Masturbating, like, thinking about a new job?
Kind of. Like, about the feeling. Just like walking into a room feeling like powerful or whatever. Sometimes you'd be thinking about a person too while you're jacking off or whatever. But sort of having this goal-oriented practice or like thinking about raising certain types of feelings. Or
I get it.
Like a hot outfit you're wearing and you feel so powerful and sensual in that moment.
Oh my God. Kristen, I masturbated in the suit I was wearing for the job I got. And I was just really, really horny that day. But I didn't do it with intent.
I
felt really good in the suit. I masturbated and it was like, oh, like it just felt so good.
And then you got the job.
I did.
There you go. That's the same thing. It doesn't have to always be like conscious like that. You know what I mean? So yeah, I met a friend who was a creative director for a publishing house and I told her, I teach a class based on this at the New School.
So I told her
about that. And then she's like, oh, maybe you should do a book proposal or whatever. But I don't know. You know, I didn't know if I was going to get it. So I just thought, okay, I really need to make this shit happen. You know, I even had a friend like carve a candle for me with like, and I, you know, put all my intentions into that. And it was a full moon and I had my chakra and it was a pink rose quartz one, because it was for like self-love to really just like get into.
I put rose quartz sometimes in my panties.
Totally. Or you could do like, I've also done with obsidian to like get rid of all the negative feelings you might have about something to set you free to like really get the next step.
Maybe I should put one in my ass because I'm really scared about my ass.
There you go.
Really?
Obsidian in my booty. I got obsidian anal.
So yeah, I did it. And then the day I pressed send on the proposal, I did my ritual, you know, jerked off with my chakra. A month later, on the next full moon, I got an email saying you have it.
Shut the fuck up.
You basically fucked yourself into my hands. Wow. That's
amazing.
And I actually teach a class with a friend of mine. It's a sex and color magic class on how to use like color, like you said, your outfit.
Like, I'm like, oh, like people of color?
Right.
Oh.
I only like black cock. Sorry. That's the color
I thought
that
she
I go
sex
for.
And color.
And I don't even like saying the word cock, but when I put black in front of it, I'm sorry, that's what I like. So we're not talking about
you know what?
No.
We're not trying to fuck up your book deal. Okay. Let me shut up. Damn.
So not colored people, but colored.
I feel dumb.
The color of your bedspread or your sheets or the room. The color you paint your room or the outfit you wear, the lingerie while you're jerking off.
Like I
the
love
colored
all
lighting.
White.
But okay, it's always black. My sheets are always all white and then my clothes are always all black.
Same.
What do I need to
what
change
is
up?
What difference? Yeah.
You know, all different colors have a different sort of energetic frequency and they also mean different things. And so if you like
you
money, let's
colors?
Say green.
Green is
okay,
green.
So you want some money. I had a friend who was always like, yeah, when you, you know, jerk off, like get some greenery, like some live plants, you know, some fresh green, you know, and then
plants.
Obviously imagine like green exploding and falling on you or money, you know, when you're when you reach climax
and red
or something.
Is kind of more
I
like
know
a
I can
sex.
Come to that.
Red is,
sure,
red is very like.
Oh my god, I have a glow light that's red.
If you do
red,
the red light in the room, it's supposed to bring more sexual energy. I did hear about that because my daddy's Jamaican and he had a red light, and when that red light was on, I stayed away from the bedroom.
Dude, you remember that?
I swear to God, I was like, Daddy, why your light red? And then we ended up talking to one of his girlfriends. And I'm like, my daddy, we're not going into the room when the light bulb is red because I'm not trusting
so
the
I have
sheets.
A, what is it called when the water humidifier thingy it glows? I put the oils in it.
Ooh.
So sometimes I change the color. Like, I notice when I want like a little bit of softer sex, it's like that light blue. But
blue.
I don't know.
You were practicing like color and sex magic right there.
Oh my God, this is so cool.
I knew you was a witch. I knew it. I knew
this
it the
so
whole time.
This is so fun for me right now.
The whole
okay,
time.
So I want to play this game really quick. Only with you. Basically, I just called Who Dat, and I want to say a name, and you just tell me about what's going on from your book. So, first one is Tituba, the Black Salem witch. Who the fuck is that?
One of the first three women accused of witchcraft in Salem, and she was the only Black woman accused of witchcraft. Actually, her race is ambiguous. Sorry. I don't
That's
know what I was about
for
to say.
Us too.
But some people think she was an indigenous woman from Barbados, and some people think she was Black.
I thought she was Bajan,
so,
too.
Right. So it's still not known, the documents. It's kind of because her last name was Indian. So they don't, because she also could have been married to an indigenous man, and his, like, they would call him John Indian was her husband's name. So they don't really know.
Okay. Why was she so famous, though?
Well, she's so famous because.
She believes in that free love sex?
No, there's not really a sexual aspect to her.
Oh, wait, no, maybe that was someone else.
The reason why you're thinking it is because in actual historical like sense that we know of, she was just accused of being a witch, and she came out and said, I saw all these other women in town doing witchy shit too with the devil. So they were trying to fuck with her, and she fucked with them back, and she survived. She actually did not get put to death. So but we don't really know, according to history, what happened to her. But there was this book that I write about by Marie Kondé, which is I, Tituba, Black Witch of Salem.
Yeah.
And it totally reframes
on Prime
the story. Day. Yeah. And Tituba is a totally like sex positive witch. And she ends up getting to Salem through, all kinds of strange mishaps. And she is like a slut in the best sense of the word. And she's always trying to tell the white Puritan women she's around to like not be so fucking uptight. And sex is not of the devil, but like a natural human, beautiful experience.
Right, 'cause it is.
So
I like that.
We have no proof that that's real, but it was a great like part of.
No,
book,
I like that. So the second one, which I feel like some of us should know. I don't know if you've seen Dinner Party, the installation at the Brooklyn Museum.
Oh, of course.
The shit. Sojourner Truth was in it.
Yes.
If you guys don't know what it is, I'm going to try to describe it. It's in the shape of a pussy. Like really in my head, it's the triangle, right? And it's all these plates, and it basically shows you in the version of, I don't know, a dinner plate, what their pussy would look like. For example, Georgia O'Keeffe, the artist we know with flowers, her pussy looked like a flower, and Sojourner Truth was on there. Can you tell us who that is if we don't know?
Yes. So she was formerly a slave and then was emancipated and was a great orator. Went around and gave these beautiful impassioned speeches to like hundreds of people about the realities of Black women and enslaved women, and basically was shaking up the suffragist movement at the time when a lot of the suffragists are super racist and saying, yeah, women's rights only for white women.
But this was also good. So Sojourner Truth was someone that I learned in school a very long time ago. And there's a festival in Eatonville, Florida, called the Zora Neale Hurston Festival. So Sojourner Truth was also with her means of orating and speaking and writing for people. It meant a lot because, of course, as you guys know, education, writing, those things were not given to slaves,
Let
alone women.
Right.
So she actually, was very known during, I'm not going to say civil rights movement or anything like that, because it was well before that time.
But someone talked about it.
But it was, but as a woman coming out, being able to hold those type of like speaking engagements.
Why is Eatonville so popular? It's not the first Black city.
It's the first Black city.
Is it the first Black city?
In Florida.
That's right. Okay.
And it's in Orlando, Florida, which is where we're from. So, but yeah, Sojourner Truth, Zora Neale Hurston, like all of that.
And she was accused of being a witch, and she actually won a court case and got money for it because people said you're a witch, and she was like, fuck that,
no,
I'm not a
fuck
witch.
I'm not.
I love it.
In the
it.
Sense yeah. of the term back yeah. then, witch. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
So third one I have in there, you wrote something about after Martin Luther King died, the witches of NYC started. What the fuck?
Oh, I think I was just setting context for like what was happening in the world. It wasn't like a direct response to
oh,
that.
Oh, okay. Gotcha, gotcha. Okay.
But it was this.
But they were protesting.
Activist group called the Women's International Terrorist Conspiracy from Hell, which is witch, W-I-T-C-H. Oh. And they dressed up as witches and would do these like sort of protests, like guerrilla theater, like, you know, performance art slash protests. Like they hexed the New York City Stock Exchange. None of them, as far as I know, really believed
I read,
in anything.
I saw they like
doing.
Took brooms around when they were
right.
protesting.
Oh, right.
Shit.
Wow. They're sort of like using the witch as a witch. Feminist yeah. mascot in a way.
I like that.
So,
yeah. Dude, I'm not going to lie. I feel like after reading your book, I really wanted to.
Yeah, because that, well, even them having the brooms or dressing up, like that's also just the narrative idea of what we think of a witch. Like,
yeah.
even if we look at the witches in The Wizard of Oz and stuff, you know, the good witch, bad witch, but bad witch had the pointy hat, the pointy
right.
shoes.
Right.
You know,
now, I want to point out what's yes. funny about Mandy saying this is when you sat down, Mandy was like, I just want to let you know I don't like witches.
I don't like witches, bro.
But like, you getting woke now.
I'm getting woke. Bitch, I'm always a witch, hoe.
Well, there's just so many ways to talk about the witch as a figure and an archetype. And like my dad being a super atheist, you know, he like would think so much of this is like bullshit. But when it's couched in this like political, you know, sense, there's like a real history that I think is important. So in that sense,
I like
sense,
how it ties to back to just sexuality and feminism
right.
and just essentially men not wanting to allow a woman
right.
to be a woman, experience
right.
the woman body, and not just allow us to feel those same things and the same orgasms that men get to. So I think it's
absolutely,
and I like how you tie that into again the slut shaming, what we're dealing with
Shit,
today.
You brought
that's
up
what it's doing.
She brought up Hillary with the burn her at the stake thing, and I just love that like basically witches are now sluts and feminists, and it's the same shit.
Yeah,
are
I like
are
that.
They any other black feminists that you think we should all know about or rejoice in? I know our modern day one we could say is like an Amber Rose. You brought up her slut walk and how important it is, but like, are there any other ones that you think should be maybe highlighted or not as well known?
I mean, she's well known, but in a different way. Bree Luna, who runs the Hood Witch.
I think
she's a super inspiring badass witch.
She had her own room at 29 Rooms.
Yeah.
Okay,
did you go?
Refinery 29.
Yeah.
The Hood Witch.
She's killing it. She's also an awesome person and super funny and creative. And what she's
I don't know her name. So
with
yeah.
this, with her business and like building the visibility of, you know, a different like way we see the witch. Because a lot of, you know, Hollywood films, at least TV, witches are white. And, you know.
Facts.
Right.
Do you follow the Hood Witch?
No. And that is, like, not the way real witches are. Real witches are every different type of, like,
actually,
race.
I'm trying to think of a black witch.
A black witch. I'm trying to think, too.
In pop culture?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, now there's, like, the Vampire Diaries had some, and, you know, it's
really?
Not as many.
I don't watch the Vampire Diaries.
Me neither.
American Horror Story.
Okay.
That whole...
Oh, okay.
Damn, is there anything else?
But, yeah, it's really woefully,
there don't be black witches.
Like...
Actually, the Oz was... It was so.
Girl, that's the black
Wizard of Oz. But the black one, and there was a black witch in that. Damn.
I mean, I guess.
I mean, technically.
Yeah, apart from American
but
Horror
it made
Story
Dorothy
Coven.
Black.
It was
the,
really
the
just
lion
the
Oz. Was black.
The Oz
everyone
was great.
Was black. My bad.
So
my bad. Yeah.
Every week we get home mail, right? Which is basically our listener questions that they send in, and I wanted to read this one.
Uh-oh.
Hello, ladies. I don't even know how to start this. Hope it makes it on your show. She wrote twice, but like, please read this on your show.
Okay.
Happy New Year. I love it. You guys are going strong in your lives. So it gives me hope for the women empowerment movement. Thank you. So my home mail is that I want to be more sexually open and try things like a threesome or even using toys or just being more of a freak overall. I grew up in a church, strong enforced home, both with my mom and dad. So all of that wasn't the Lord was banished. Now as a woman in my 30s, I've had sex, of course, and I have two partners, one male, one female.
Okay.
Now, I was with a woman in college for 3 years, and it was bad. I felt verbally, emotional, abused, cheated on, used. And now that I'm with a man, we have connections about sex, and I do feel bad that I'm not into trying anything new, including toys, lube, watching porn. My question is whether there's something I should do to be more open, or should I leave him? Basically, because it's not happening with him. Real quick, I have a young sister who went far away to college and she dated nothing but white men. We're a black family, by the way. My mom kicked her out of the house years ago and she checked my sister's email and found she was sending nudes to white men. I've never tried pink cock and I was interested, but that situation with my sister and my mom put me off. Any advice would be great. Keep up the show. I feel like she brought that up because we assume that like white guys are like into freakier
that
shit.
They're more into freakier shit.
But like,
shit,
bitch,
yeah.
Why do we have a show?
Like, I mean, we're trying to, I mean, I'm not going to lie, and I've said it more times than not, I've never been with pink dick. I've only been with, sorry, because you're white.
I don't know.
Can I say pink dick? Okay, I'm sorry.
It's
I don't want to.
Hilarious.
My bad. But I've never had.
They're all kind of pink.
I've never had pink
dick. I'm going to call it that from now on.
You know, yeah. So, like, all of these sexual experiences that I've had, and y'all know, y'all call me like the freakiest, like it's so nasty, but they've all been with black men. So I think it is a opening up. If, unfortunately, he's telling you he's not into this, again, I think communication is super big. Maybe you tell him.
I don't even
him,
know if you're bringing it up. It sounds like you're not bringing it up.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you're not bringing it up. But you can start off small ways. Be like, listen, babe, I came across this porn, and it's kind of wild, but look at it and kind of just gauge what he thinks about it.
I think watching porn together is the easiest thing.
I think definitely.
But
I think we've said
I
that before.
I wanted to really read this with you because I feel, again, like religion kind of puts that little zap
yeah,
on us.
It is.
And I wanted to ask specifically because maybe she needs to hear it and it's not a direct answer to her, but like, how does religion really shape the way we think about sex and how can it then factor in later? Like, what does it do to us?
Well, most like monotheistic religions demonize sex, particularly for women and women.
And before marriage.
Right. So if you're like born into that, it's really, really hard to like deprogram your mind. And it's a constant process you have to go through. And you should be like, give yourself a break too for not knowing like where to turn or how to go forward. I think that's awesome that someone would come out and ask those questions because it's a super. It's brainwashing, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't think you should feel bad if you grew up like that. You can't help it.
You can't.
You can't help how you're born.
I did an episode on our Patreon, which one of my best friends on there, James, talks about.
Oh, the cult shit.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Well, he calls his evangelist like family a cult,
oh,
right?
Cult.
Which is great. But he says, you know, like my mom would cut out pictures of breasts, like cleavage in newspapers.
Oh,
he's like, I jerked off for the first time and like I didn't know what happened, what came out of me.
Oh.
He's like, bro, like. Everything about sex, I was fucked up, like,
right.
Because of this fucking bullshit,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
religion that I went through and how it just made me feel like everything was bad. He said that he even heard in church once, you shouldn't jerk off because it'll make you gay from touching dick.
Oh, my God.
And even though that's extreme.
That's very extreme.
Just, I feel like her saying religion was in her home. I feel like that's what makes it so scary to then bring it up.
No, it
right, because even talking about it is wrong
somehow. That shame.
Yeah, wanting to do anything sexual in some way is wrong in the back of your mind, maybe.
Or even bringing it back to where we sit here and demonize women for wanting to have sex or experiencing sex. And then if they lose it before marriage, now you're tarnished. Now you're soiled.
Right.
Now you're bad goods.
Right.
So even to grow up in, you know, that type of environment where that's your mindset, I can get where now it may be even hard for her to say, maybe I kind of want to try kinky things, but maybe it's her not even knowing how to express it herself.
Yeah. That's a good
point.
So
maybe it's just in her head,
so if she,
and she feels like he won't do it with her.
If she can't say the words, because we have so many questions we get like this.
We do.
What would be your advice to someone that can't blatantly say what they want? What are other ways to like be inventive with sex or ask for
I like that question.
Things that you want?
Yeah.
Rather than just being like, I want you to fuck my throat.
Because they don't really know yet, because that, like, figuring it out what you want first is important, right?
Of course.
Oh, that's a better
So I think that is, like, all in the realm of fantasy, and that could be done with, like a masturbation challenge. You know? Like, if you sit with yourself and, like, make yourself, you know, pleasure yourself.
Without porn, you mean?
Right. Just, like, what
I like
do you
that.
Think
I
like
of?
That.
What comes to your mind? What do you like?
What turns you
that's
on?
That's a fun
right.
thing to do.
So then, over a month, like, write down all the things that come up and then try them in real life. Or at least, you know, decide if that's something you want to broach the subject
or even,
for.
I don't know how old she is,
challenge.
But
I like that.
Something that works when I'm dating someone or when I'm trying to get to know how kinky someone is, I say, let's play the game 21 questions.
Ooh.
You never really get to 21 questions, but then it just opens the dialogue. Like, let's not even limit what we can ask, but it's 21 questions. How would you answer this? And so it's gauging what's really kinky to you. Would you try this? This came to mind. Have you ever watched this type of porn? And so you turn it into a game to where you can even start off by saying some of these things I've never done.
Right.
But I just want to know what your take is on it.
Yeah.
So then you turn it into just something kind of whimsical and kind of childish.
Yeah.
But now you're not, you know, saying that, ooh, I'm into all
because
this.
Because honestly, like, sex is really fun. Like,
it is. Yeah.
I had a guy I dated once that I knew wouldn't be for me because he said I laughed during sex and he thought that was disrespectful. It was a Slovenian guy.
What, are you
and
in church or something?
He was like, that really made me uncomfortable. I, like, do you know how much funny shit happens during sex?
No, mad
you
funny
have
shit.
To laugh. You can't
mad
laugh.
Funny
Yo,
shit.
Think
really
about when
good.
You're switching positions and, like, you're like, oh, fuck. Like, how can I not laugh a little? I laugh
yeah,
every
no,
time I have
I be
sex.
Laughing.
Dude.
I be laughing when I'm like, all right, I'm done riding. I hope you don't think I was going to ride for long, nigga.
Dude, that's like, probably my first
laugh. I be laughing, bro.
The last time I laughed really hard during sex, me and Scissors were having sex, and we're using this, like, double dong. We put it down. I'm going down on her. We pick it back up, and because it's jelly, all this hair is stuck to it. And I'm like, bitch, between yours and my fucking weave,
yeah.
Look at this. Like,
yeah, I think the last time I laughed during sex was... and I'm not gonna say when because y'all might get to it. But he came. I asked him, and I think I talked about this on a Patreon episode. So I asked him to come on my face. That's kind of what I asked. But he shot out like as I was saying to come on my face. So I missed the closing my eye part, and it went in my eye. And I'm laughing because I'm literally like this, and I'm like, you came in my eye, and he thought it was the funniest thing. And I'm like, I just got my lashes done, and he's laughing, but I'm like, nah, nigga, these was $80, and I'm mad, but he's
oh my God, Kristen, I gotta tell you, someone wrote in,
it was so
right?
Funny.
And was like, oh, I wanted to know if you guys could like debunk this question, but somebody came in my eye, and I swear I could feel it swimming.
Oh, we
in
talked
there.
About this what? Before. Yeah, we talked about this.
Aww.
Yeah. And really, literally, just... we sat here and was talking about, she thought there was
but hold on,
the sperm
dude.
That you could
no,
feel.
No, I didn't
sperm.
Think it was, but then it happened to me after, like, oh, man, I feel it.
You don't feel
it's
shit.
It's just because it tingles.
Yeah. It's just the burn.
When's yeah, the last well, time yeah. you laughed during sex? What happened?
I was pretty drunk, and there was, like, I was also really hungry, and so it was kind of like a late night, you know, like, meet up, and... it was at my place, and there was like a bag of chips next to the bed, and I was like,
I'm already laughing.
And I'm on top, and I'm like,
you did not start eating chips while you was fucking.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Do you watch Insecure?
Yes.
Do you remember when she was eating the Dorito, and she was like, oh.
Yes. And not,
get the fuck
and
out
I'm
here.
Not like super into food and sex, but I was just super drunk, and it was like, he's a funny guy, and we laughed together a lot, and I was like, I'm just gonna, and he thought it was fucking funny, and I was like, you know what?
I'm gonna feed it to you.
Hang. I love
no,
this
that's,
food.
That's your husband,
hang.
Bro.
That was
he might need to
awesome.
Be husband.
I hope that joke was good.
I ain't even gonna hold you.
I would love with someone to laugh at that. Like,
no, I like that.
That really just made me think of Insecure.
But it's crazy because when you do other things while having sex, I'm not gonna lie. For me, having sex, I don't watch TV while because then
oh,
I, like some like there's certain things
yeah,
I don't like when people
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I like when my nigga smokes his blunt while I'm sucking his
Ooh.
Dick, but I don't like if he's watching TV while I'm sucking his dick.
Because
then I feel
well,
some type of way.
Different.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a difference.
No. Dude, I'm not gonna lie. I like
is
when people are on the phone
like?
When I'm going down
what?
With them.
Oh, I love when people are on the phone when I'm sucking
Me
their
too.
Dick. Them trying to keep a straight
oh,
face.
Okay, oh. Not like a business call, but like some
even a business call. That makes it even better. You're trying to talk business while I'm
you getting those spreadsheets over, huh?
Oh, I love, like, let your mama call you while I'm sucking your dick.
Oh my God.
I love shit like that. I'm sorry.
Ew!
I love
it. No, you already talked about admitting incest.
Or... Okay, so not really like that, but I like for him to try to keep a straight face and make it seem like
no,
he's not being pleasant. Okay, mom, let me call you back. I'm a little busy. I don't know. I like that shit.
It's my bad. It's taboo.
Okay,
oh,
yeah, there
to
we go.
Answer your question about pink tick, listen, I will tell you that I used to say that I thought, like, when I first started dating white guys, I was like, oh, okay, they're freakier. No, I just think there's this all-around weird thing where with black men and women, we feel like we can't say it, so we kind of just wait for it to happen.
Yep.
Whereas, I don't know why that's just our thing. Whereas with white guys, yeah, it did just happen where guys would tell me what they liked eat quicker, faster, or ask to try things with me where that
yeah,
didn't
bro,
really happen.
You can finger my ass. Like, white guys aren't saying that.
Dude.
Until you stick a finger in there and then they move that little butt so you can stick more in there.
Exactly.
You, but you're not saying it.
So like,
you're right. I like that.
It
right.
is, and it's really
you're
true right. because I was like, oh, initially I'm like, white guys are freakier. But like, they're not. Right? It's just...
They can just talk about it more.
Right, because... I think there's another thing of, like, black men maybe not even wanting to be, quote, unquote, disrespectful, right? Like, there's that big thing around there where, like, we want to make sure, like, we... I don't know. I feel like, in my opinion, I don't know if you can agree, Kristen, but, like, I felt like it was cooler for like white girls at my school to be sluts over like the black girls. Like I feel like it was
Yeah, there's way more like ability to be a slut and then go be like a respected member of society. Like there's not that like double stigma. Totally.
That's what it is. It didn't feel like
class is an issue too, you know?
Like, yes.
More money you have, the whiter you are, the easier it is to be like, I'm a slut, and then still be treated like a human.
Yes.
Ah.
When I was on Van's show, I was saying it, but I couldn't articulate it. It was in my head, but I couldn't figure out what I was thinking.
That's a good way to say it, though.
But I really have felt like that. Like, I felt like with my white friends, they would get excited about it. And with, like, black girls, it was just like, I can never.
Like, for sure, sucking dick. Y'all's name's Becky with a good head. Like, but it's white girls. Like, y'all are praised at, like, being able to suck dick.
Well, we don't know your ethnicity,
I'm
guessing.
I'm guessing you know how to give good head. And unfortunately, with black girls, like, that stigma has been to where maybe
you suck dick too good, how?
Well, no, either that or maybe black girls don't give as good head because you can't touch their hair. They don't want their hair touched. And things like that around black women sucking dick compared to white girls putting that shit up in a ponytail and just going at it.
There's a meme we posted today with, like, you sucking the soul out of him with your wig off. Like, I'm sorry, but, like, I had to really get around, like, only with white guys, and now I don't care. Like, having a sew-in and being like, are they going to touch my braids and feel weird? And now I don't give a fuck.
Oh, I don't. And my shit be blending, and then they be, I be like, just so you know, this ain't all mine. Because then when they get the feeling, and I know that they're confused, because I'll have guys that, like, go to pull it, and then I feel them, like, touching it. And yes, it's a sew-in. You want me to keep sucking your dick or not? You could touch it. Like, but I think that some of them think it's my natural hair until they go
Dude,
to
but hold on.
It.
White girls got clip-ins, and
they
you know
do.
What?
Totally. They do. I'm, and tapes? What is it? Y'all be taping your hair in,
tape,
right?
No, tape, micro beading.
Look at us trying to get the white
never
people
tried
sewing.
It, but
she's
I'm,
like, bitch,
she's
I
like,
got hair.
No. Okay, Becky with a good hair.
Okay, so let's
no,
go ahead
I was
and
to talk
let
about
our
them.
Listeners know where they can find you, where they can possibly get your book, if you have any other books for them to read, if they like Witches, Sluts, Feminists. What else can our listeners do to get you?
Yeah, find me on Instagram. It's Kristen Corvette, Corvette with a K.
Ooh,
yeah, we're gonna.
So
it's
slutty.
In the description of this. mm-hmm. In the description of here, yeah. We're gonna put her book title, her Instagram, her site, and we'll also tag it.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I have a new book coming out next fall.
What's it called?
Which is like kind of a part two.
Hello.
But
you don't know
it's
a name?
Involving how cats actually have been coded as these like hypersexual
pussies.
Feline entity. Yeah, why do we call it a pussy? Like, why is it, you know, why are women catty? Like, what are all these associations with cats
Ooh.
And sex and women? And, like, if you look on, like, the stock room, let's say, just like...
You guys, are y'all friends? So, this whole just made me do a whole episode on animals with sex. Animals having sex.
Oh,
no,
shit.
But, like...
Evolution and how we came from, like, all this bullshit about animals fucking. So, y'all may have or may not have listened to that episode yet, but we did a whole fucking episode about animals fucking.
Bro, but no, for real, though, like, think about the cat emoji, how it's got, like, the, like, it looks hotter.
Yeah, why do we think cats, why are cats sluts? So that's basically, what? And also there's a history in also at the time of the witch trials, many cats were also put to death and like associated with
the
witchcraft.
Black cat.
Right,
like,
or the cat lady archetype, you know, all these like weird cats and women associations, like dogs are men, cats are women. Like why? What is
I
all
like
this?
I like that.
So that's my next
catty.
Book. Yeah, it's called Cat Call.
Reclaiming
the feral feminine.
I'm damn that too.
So, okay, so we gotta read that one fall. And then redo the
Okay, next fall is in 2020?
No, like this 2019
fall. Oh, 2019
fall.
Fall
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, dope. Awesome. Well, I mean, until then, we brought your book. Do you do any, like, talks?
I do talks. I do events, and, like, I post about them all on my Instagram mostly. I have a website that's boring. No one goes to a website, right?
Not anymore.
No.
Bro, we bought the domain, but we don't
and
use it.
We ain't even posted yet. Right. Like, we go to websites.
I went on WordPress to start it, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no. So much effort.
It's a ton. You got to get the graphics. It's just it's a lot.
But what's the proper way to buy your book to put money in your pocket? Let's talk about that.
Good way.
I do usually sell it. I just sold out, but I will replenish
Humble
and I
flex.
Sell.
I just sold out.
No, but the thing is, I gotta. No. I gotta buy my own books from the publisher. It's kind of weird, you know.
I know how that's set up.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So
it's so stupid.
It's not. Oh, can you have to buy a high number? So sometimes I don't actually have the money to buy my own books to sell.
That's insane.
But you can get it on like IndieBound or The Strand or Amazon if you're not against Amazon.
The Strand gets you good money.
Yeah,
dope.
Strand is good.
The Strand's a dope place
yeah,
to meet people.
If you on
Amazon,
my website,
as long as you get $100, you get paid out.
That's
stuff
true.
Through that. So, yeah.
Okay, so Amazon will get
Amazon's
you paid well
fine. Too? On my website, if you do buy it, I get like, I send you like a little patch that says Sex Witch and like little
Ooh.
Stickers and shit.
Okay,
so,
I like that.
Yeah, so that like is the most money in my pocket, but also just buy the damn book however you want, man. I'm just right. happy to share this information.
Is there an audiobook version?
I just finished recording the audiobook.
Congrats.
It's going to be out, like, I hope, in a couple months.
You speak well, so I'll listen.
Oh, thank you. You speak, Mandy, I hate when you say that.
What?
You can talk English.
I'm just saying,
I appreciate it. Thank you.
She's into accents.
Okay,
so
hold on.
Much.
You know what? Let me, to be fair, we've had guests where we're like, oh my God, like, come on. Like,
just fucking talk already.
Are they, so, like, weird?
Like, you've spoken very well all episodes. The same as King Noir, who also came on. And so him, I love when men speak well.
Oh,
I have this super crush on a man who's taken, but he has a podcast. If you guys... Girl, he's taken, though. He was just on Van's show. So if you guys want to hear an intellectual man talk, I love Arian Foster and how he talks, his mindset. He's also into, like, science. He's an atheist. And
he's into science. No, that got my pussy wet.
No, it makes me... No, but, like, so he makes atheism sound sexy. I'm not going to lie. He'd always run out. I'm like, okay, maybe...
Bro, because that shit is, like, mad woke.
I know. He's so woke. So because of how he speaks, though, it turns me on. So I think I'm a sapiosexual bitch. Thank you very much, ho. That's all. So, you know...
Oh, yeah, keep going. Where else can we find you?
Yes.
She's like, what the fuck I said?
No, I think she said everywhere.
I think, yeah, that's it.
Are you on Twitter?
I'm on
Twitter. Do you engage with a lot of people? Okay.
Not more Instagram. I just, like, should pick up my Twitter game, but I don't know.
Good gram.
Yeah, I'm just trying. And I also have the Sluttist Instagram also, but that's more like Sluttist. That's just not me, but like the site and all.
If you ever have some, so like, you know, we have the vanilla shit, some good Sluttist stuff for us to include.
We would love the articles.
Oh, awesome. Yeah,
every episode we have a vanilla shit, so we'd love to send.
Yeah, you know, we can get featured in sites too. Just...
Yeah, I need Sluts of the Month, always.
Oh, there you go. We are
civilian sluts.
Yeah, civilian sluts.
No, all sluts.
Okay, there we go. There we go.
You know, us, we're the month.
All right, well, guys, we want to thank you guys for tuning in. Again, we are looking forward to seeing all of you guys on tour. That is motherfucking Atlanta coming up on 2/23, New York City, March 9th. If you haven't gotten your tickets now, they are selling the fuck fast. As you guys see, our dates sell out quick as fuck because y'all love us and everybody's hoes in real life. So if you guys want to see us, y'all better get your tickets. Don't wait till your paycheck. You better ask one of your sugar daddies. Also, again, looking forward to seeing you guys in Houston on 4/20. Yes, we'll smoke with you after. But also, please remember to bring tampons, bring pads, bring anything that goes. We are donating and partnering with Flow Code, which is an organization that is helping underprivileged women. Underprivileged women who can't afford, menstrual products. So please, if you're coming to our show in Houston, go ahead and come with your tampons, your pads, even if you're not bleeding, sis, bring that with you.
We keep forgetting to bring that up. And I watched this, like, really small documentary. I don't know if any of you guys saw it. It was about homeless women when they're on their periods.
Yeah, I've seen that.
It was on Facebook circulating, maybe. And, this girl was like, yeah, sometimes, like, I'll take towels I have, like, I don't know what
napkins,
to do.
Napkins, yeah, it's really
going
bad.
Into fucking stores
and
getting napkins.
And so Flow Code is based in Texas, so I'm super excited to be partnering with them. As you guys know, a percentage of our sales is going to them, but we're also donating product. And if you guys can't make it to Houston, there is a donation link on that ticket. So if you guys are in another city and not in Texas but want to donate to the cause, we do have a donate link on our Eventbrite. And again, see you guys in L.A., Miami and Toronto.
And Chicago.
And Chicago, bitch. Two shows. That shit probably sold out by now, so I didn't want to say that because that shit, we got like 10 tickets.
I mean, we'll still see them.
Okay, we'll see y'all in Chicago.
And with Patreon. So we have a clip we're going to play you of our Patreon. If you think this episode was great, thank you. If you think it could have been better and you want to help out with it, call us at the $15 here on Patreon. After 4 months, we send you merch. But before that, right in the beginning, if you want us to call you, send us your number. We'll go through our outline of the week for you, give us feedback, help us, and produce an episode. For just $5, you get 3 bonus episodes per month every Monday right after this episode. So thank you, Kristen.
Thank you so much for coming.
Was it the funnest podcast you've been on? I know.
Hey.
Yes, obviously.
Hello. And guys, this has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions.
Bye.
Delete it all. You can't. I actually kind of want to find them now. I'd love to use my own truth against myself now because I don't want.
That's the best way.
It really is.
I love
it. And I would love to use my mugshot as like my Instagram picture, but I can't find it. So I'm in a lace dress with pearls. AJ got a picture of me with that from that night. Lace dress with heels, and I was wearing Louboutins. And they had this picture of me, and I was wearing it while I was out and around in GP. So they make me change my clothes because my dress was too short, put on prison clothes. I had to spread, cough. You have to stick your fingers inside of yourself, like hold your cheeks open and cough like I farted. Because there's so much air coming out. You know what I mean? She's like checking in my tongue and like making sure like I don't have drugs. I'm like, bitch, I swallowed it 7 hours ago. So I was still mollied out in jail.
Oh my God.
So get there Friday. No, now it's Saturday morning, I guess. I'm like, whatever, I'm just gonna sleep this shit off. So they give me a Ziploc bag. And they basically give you the necessities before you have commissary money or whatever. There's a pair of underwear, toothbrush, a notepad, pens.
They give you pens in jail? Those could be weapons.
This is they had a pen. But like this is in a bag, a Ziploc bag, and stamps. So I get to my bunk, and the girl says next to me, because she looks at my mugshot picture, and they're looking at my nails and my hair, and they're like, you getting out, huh? I was like, yeah, I'm getting out. So she goes, well, can I have your stamps? I said, yeah, sure. So I take the bag and I threw it at the edge of the bed. She goes to get them. And so does another girl. These bitches start fighting over stamps. And my bunk slides off. I am now in the midst of these two bitches fighting. And I'm like, oh my God. Bitch, no Orange is the New Black was out by then. I was terrified, Mandy. I thought these hoes were going to kill me, bitch. So then the fucking, they let them fight the whole way through. They don't break them up in jail. They let them fight the whole way through. Bitch, I've been there for a few hours. I'm terrified. So he looks at me. He's like, all y'all go. I said, oh, absolutely not. I have a court date. I'm getting out. I don't know what the fuck these hoes was doing. So everybody
did you
like,
know what they were in there for?
No, not at the time.
Okay.
But people had different colors on their little little mugshot. So I'll tell you about that in a minute. So I sleep for the first 2 days, honestly. Like, slept it through. Probably because I was so high. You know what I mean?
Then I backed
up on sleep. Wake up. See the light. You want to go outside? No, sleep. So Sunday, I wake up. Or Monday morning, I'm starving, Mandy. I'm starving. Everybody's telling me don't eat the food. Now, they say this is a thing. I don't know if this is true or some jail tale. But they're like, don't drink the juice because they put these, like, hormone suppressants in it so nobody will fuck. Like, they put really weird shit in it.
No, wait. Maybe in prison. In jail, they do that? Well, or maybe, this is just a myth. Jail meal.
It could be. Okay. But they were like, don't eat it. So, the food was so disgusting. I then went to the counter of the person who watches the GP people, and I was like, excuse me, as you can see from my last name, I'm a Jew, and I need a kosher meal. She was like, okay, well, you're not going to see him till tomorrow. I was like, oh, okay, well, I had money in cash. Can I use that for commissary? She's like, no, you can't do anything. It's a holiday weekend. So there's a girl in front of me eating cup noodles, and when I tell you it looked like
a steak, bitch.
Filet, the best Kobe Wagyu, what I was used to at the time.
Get the fuck out of here.
So hold on. I'm watching her.
You was used to oxtail. You was fucking Jamaicans then.
I was eating good.
Oh, okay.
So I'm looking at this girl with a cup of noodles. I'm like, what am I going to do? How do I convince her to let me give
you how to fight her?
So hold on. I go up to her. I'm like, hey, I have money, but not with me. Can I put money in your commissary tomorrow? Can I pay you back? She's like, hell no. So let me tell you where my negotiating Jew selling skills come in, bitch. I was like, listen. How much is one of those? She's like, $3, which is very expensive. I was like, okay, well, I want three. So how about I double it? I'll give you $20. She's like, absolutely not. And I was like, okay, I guess that's not that good of a risk. I'm going to give you $40 when I get out of here for three of those. So you'd be basically betting $9 of your commissary to make back more than triple.
I wouldn't have trusted you. How do I know I'm getting it?
There are now 10 bitches talking about, no. They're like, fuck that shit. One of them's yelling at her like, yo, nigga, we giving you money every month anyway, bitch, take it. It's take the L. You got mad money. It's the 13th. I remember the day because my mom's birthday. She's like, just do it. You still got money left. Just do it, bitch. It's worth it. So she did it. She wrote down her Amscot prison ID because I had to go to Amscot. Uh-huh. Her prison ID number on my hand. She was like, bitch, if you don't do this shit, I'll beat your ass. And I was like, okay. Mandy, when I tell you I ate them shits, those to this day were the best meals I can remember. When you're starving, I got chicken, beef, and a vegetable one. Bitch, I was eating them shits slow. Someone gave me a little milk to make that shit creamy. I didn't even know you could do that shit, ho. So the next day, right, I go to court. It's in the morning. The reason, by the way, she gave it to me is because of that mugshot badge picture. I had those pearls on, that lace dress, and they were like, she looked like she got money. And my nails were done, and my hair was like just freshly sewn in. Mm. And they're looking at me like, she can afford it. So I get to court. There's two women before me, and I remember specifically what they did. The first one was in possession of crack cocaine, and the woman right before me was there for prostitution. And so I said, when I got up, she goes, why are you here? I was like, oh, it's just my license. I didn't do that. I just drove without a license. So then I didn't realize how testy I was being. And she was like, so basically you did it for the second time after we already had you up in
right,
the month.
Right.
Why should I let you out? You probably gonna do it again.
Yep.
I was like, ma'am. I was like, pleading my case, right? I think I was like 20 years old. So she tells me that she will release me as long as I have an ankle bracelet on. Now, I couldn't understand why I would be on house arrest for just a license. And she said, it's not house arrest, it's GPS, so we make sure you don't flee the state. You can go wherever you need to go. So I go get this ankle bracelet that was this big. It was huge. If you guys Google GPS bracelet, it was huge. Took up more of my ankle. I was chafing and bleeding. That's how big it was. It was rubbing against me. So long story short, there's a battery in this with a microphone because you have to charge it. And if you don't charge it or if you flee, they will talk to you through the bracelet and find your ass. So I was wearing long skirts to work. I didn't know what else to do, right? I was so upset. So I finally was able to get some dick. So I called one of these drug dealer niggas I knew. And it was Mike. And I was like, listen. I just gotta let you know I have an ankle bracelet before you come over. He's like, it's okay, don't worry about it. We'd fucked before. So he comes over, we're fucking, and he's holding my ankle and like making sure it doesn't rub up and down. Like he's holding the ankle bracelet. And I'm like, damn, he got this shit together. So once we're done fucking, I'm like, yo, you acted like that wasn't your first time. He was like, bruh,